Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network. This is Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome. You're listening to Racer Radio. Right here on AM 1170, The Answer. I'm Dave.
I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by the good folks at El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Deals going on as we speak. 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon. Check out ElCajonFord.com. And when you do, tell them you heard it right here on Racer Radio. We got Shelley Woolridge on the line, Western States Racer Expo. She's put this little program together, and this will be, I think, year number three. Shelley, how are you today?
Yes.
Yep,
Doing well. Thank you very much. Yes, this will be our third year that we'll be putting this together. It's pretty exciting, the growth that we've had.
You've had phenomenal growth,
yeah,
Shelley.
Year
I mean,
after
don't be so shy about it.
Yeah, no.
You started off small. You basically quadrupled your participation in the booths, in the number of racers who showed up.
And where are we going to be doing our event this year?
Yeah. Da, 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 drum roll.
2018 will be at the Fairplex, California in Pomona, California.
Beautiful Pomona, California.
Now, do you have a date yet?
Yes. The date is the weekend of February 24th and 25th.
So we got Saturday and a Sunday, and we are all set. That's great. And how much square feet do we have for this now this year? I bet it's bigger than last year when you had it at the Rancheros, right?
Yes. We are just short of 31,000 square feet.
Holy crap.
So we're a bit bigger than we had this year. And the configuration of the building is going to allow us a lot more options, the way we have things laid out. And I've just got tons of ideas and can't wait to get it all put together.
All right.
Shelley, before we get ahead of ourselves, explain to the folks, what is Western States
Racer Expo?
Western States Racer Expo is, gosh, how do we even explain this? Because it is so much for so many different people.
College for motorsports?
The original concept was to educate the racers and their teams, not just the drivers, not just the owners, but their entire teams, on every aspect of their racing endeavor. Everything from engine tuning to chassis setup to shock technology to sponsorships and how to and how not to and what they're looking for. Just all the different pieces that come together to make a successful team.
Right, with the goal being to increase your racing performance and your ability on the track.
And how to pay for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And so much of that ability on the track, that is just the perfect way to put it, is your car has to be prepared well and thoroughly and leave no stone unturned, so that when you get there, your car is drivable and predictable, and the rookie driver can then build his skills. The veteran driver can just be that much better, and it takes the middle guys into the group of front runners. It takes the back marker guys that are just kind of struggling to get around the track. It makes them more predictable. It makes them more competitive. It gets them in the mix. And it just makes for a better show all the way around.
And it's safer.
And it, yes, absolutely. Much, much safer. So we cut down on the yellow flags, which are no fun for anyone. And it makes for a better show. The fans enjoy it more. The promoters are ecstatic. And like I said, the racers have more fun. The word gets out and it's being proven. The track that I'm at more often than not is Paris Auto Speedway. And that's really where this whole thing started. I had been in racing years and years ago, kind of stepped away, raised my family. My husband continued racing, sitting up in the grandstands, just enjoying myself as a spectator. But the enjoyment wasn't really where it should be because I'm seeing the struggles these guys were having. So I wanted to help them in some way. And that's how the original event came about. I wanted to bring some speakers in and help them kind of get their act together so that it was better for everyone.
Right. So they have better resources and all kinds of things to draw on.
Where else were they getting this information?
Exactly.
Before you started Western States Racer Expo.
Really, you know, back in the day, there were a number of chassis builders that were available for guys to take their cars to, and it was pretty regional. And now, with the internet and everything else, chassis builders could be halfway across the nation or even farther. Mm-hmm. So you don't have your chassis builder that you can just run across town or across county to take your car and get it set up. You're kind of on your own. And there are resources. There are great books and resources on the internet. But a racer really still needs somebody to teach them how to use that information.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of guys do really well with that. And oftentimes they have another racer that will kind of hold their hand and get them going.
Yeah, sort of mentor them. Yeah.
Yes, but it's not everybody has that, or they're not. Some guys have a hard time asking for that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
You know how it is. You know, can I help you? Oh, no, I got it.
Yeah, right.
They really don't. And it takes years to really figure it out for yourself. So we're bringing all these resources together, mm-hmm. and they're right there. And it's so much easier for a racer to walk up to the booth that is selling shocks, shock manufacturer.
Or you had a carburetor tuner out there too last year. To walk up to him and say, what do I need to do to my car, to get tuned up properly?
That speaking segment was hugely successful. Carburetors are a mystery to a lot of people. Carburetors and distributors, they seem to really be a mystery.
Right.
And we had Keith Crisco there, along with Don McCaskill. They're both out of Shaver Engines. Right. And these guys are experts at what they do. Mm-hmm. And they are so open to the racers to answer all their questions and help them solve some of the problems that these guys are having. And with Keith and Donnie, these problems are, it's just easy fixes. But to a racer, it's not. It's like magic.
Well, you got to remember
these guys in their first hand.
Well, you got to remember, Shelley, racers never share. Never, 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 never. I won't even tell you what air pressure is in my left front tire. I don't care if you pay me. So,
well, the funny thing you say about that is so many racers assume that 100% across the board.
Sure.
But you do have some racers that they'll tell you. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you what shocks are running. They'll tell you what springs are running. They'll tell you what gear they're running. Air pressures, all of that. There are racers that are going to assume that you're not telling them 100% of the truth. But even if you are, they're assuming you're not. Mm-hmm. My husband, Dennis Woldridge, he's one of those. He'll tell you what's on his car because you still have to get in your car and drive it. So
exactly. he doesn't have an ego issue either, and he knows he can drive. And his attitude basically is, fine, if you beat me, you win. If you don't, you don't. So before we get to the end of this segment, how do people go about finding out how to sign up for Western States Racer Expo, which will be next February?
The website is www.westernstatesraceexpo.com. So we'll have everything all up there. We're working on ticket pricing now. I'm working on some sponsors to come in and help offset the cost.
Right.
I haven't set the ticket prices yet because I want to keep them as low as possible.
Sure.
And then we'll announce those here shortly. But I did announce at the track last night that the first 100 pre-sales will get parking passes. That's one big difference one of the big differences with Pomona is there is a parking fee.
Right.
And it is what it is. Nothing I could do about it.
That's what it is.
That's a Fairflex thing. Yeah. But I want to help the racers get there. I don't want there to be any excuses for them not to be there.
Right.
So my way of helping them is those first 100 that go into pre-sales will get a parking pass.
That's sweet. Well, you know what? We're going to have you call in once a month right up to the event, and Michelle and I will be at your event next February 25th from 1 to 4.
For our second year there.
Second year. We'll be doing live broadcasting. We'll be interviewing drivers, talking to parents, helping sponsors, because that's a very vital part of Western States Racer Expo, because if you can't generate any money, you can't go racing. All right, kid.
Correct.
Hey, we're going to have to let you go. We're right up against a hard break. Shelly, as always, thank you very much for taking time out of your day, and we will be talking to you down the road.
Thank you.
All right, kiddo. All right, folks, we're going to take a small break. We come back. Dirt Dude should be on the line.
From Barona.
I doubt he's there, but I know he'll be on the line.
Well, yeah, Dirt Dude of Barona.
Racer Radio, AM 1170.
The Answer.
AM 1170. The Answer. KCBQ.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. Racer Radio right here on AM 1170.
The Answer.
I'm Dave.
I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by Barona Circle Track, www.baronaspeedway.com. BaronaSpeedway.com, located 1750 Wildcat Canyon Road in lovely Lakeside.
Yep.
Do we have Dirt Dude on the line, my friend? Yes, we do.
All right.
How we doing, bud?
Hello, Michelle. Hello, Dave. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Excellent. So how was the racing last night?
Oh, racing was great. I wish more people would have enjoyed it, but it was great.
How was the weather up there?
It was hot, humid, and then like when the sun went down, it cooled off really good.
But you didn't get rain?
Main event,
yeah, that's good.
Perfect.
You didn't get any rain?
No, we didn't. It'd been nice to get a little bit of the rain. It felt like it had enough humidity to rain. But
there was a little in Julian yesterday, but that's it, as far as I know.
It was pretty hot and humid, that's for sure. Yeah. So it was a good night of racing. Had a decent car count. I know Ferris had like 31 mods, so they were killing it last night. And then with everything going on, San Diego is so hard to get people to go do things, but there was so much going on. I mean, you had the Bulls only, the country concert.
Yep.
So there's just so much going on. I think there was a Padre game last night. So.
Yep. And the Pride. And there's just so much going on.
Yeah, it's hard to get people to go when there's so much going on. But and our junior drivers, the Mini Dwarf Masters, Deegan and I, we got a main event win. The Mini Dwarf Sportsman, Charlie Carty, got a main event win. That's like his fifth or sixth win. No, that kid's on doing really good. Our junior sprints was Michael Thing got a main event win. And our pro ponies, Dennis Taylor got another main event win. Mark Barlow got his first main event win of the season. IMC Modifieds, we actually had a pretty good group show up. A lot of guys, two of them from Arizona and one from Yuma.
Yeah.
Brian Schultz actually got a win. He comes from Casa Grande. He actually got the win, but got DQ'd after the race. So it went to second place, which is Bill Miller. Bill Miller did a really good job running. I think he's from Yuma, and he led a lot of it.
Wow.
And then Schultz came from the back and then got high, wide, and handsome out there and found a good run on the outside and just took that car to the front. Mm. It was pretty good to watch.
Huh.
But then he didn't go to tech after the race, and that's one of the rules. And when the car gets, you don't go to tech, you get DQ'd.
Oopsie.
So he got DQ'd. Now, why wouldn't he go to tech?
Because he lost his mind, I guess.
He was too happy celebrating or something.
Well, I don't know. I told him right after he got done with the interview, I'm like, dude, go to tech, scan policy, go to tech. He's like, yeah. And then so he gets in his car, drives off. Next thing you know, they come back, the next race after, and they're like, dude, they had the DQ him. He didn't show up to tech. He went to his pit and then went to tech. Even though he drove past the pit, he didn't go straight to tech. And he's been to our track before. I know he comes from, Casa Grande, but he's had two main event wins at our track before, and he's raced, two other times, too. So he knows the rules. He's been there before. So in our pure stocks, Rick Schneider got a main event win. That's the second one in a row. and he actually cooked that car down at the end. It caught fire. He had the exhaust manifold so hot they were glowing.
Ooh.
And I think it had a little bit of oil on it. So when he took the checkered flag and stopped for the driver interview, there was a fire underneath. Everyone was shouting, fire, fire, fire. So the firefighters get out there. By the time they pull the hood off, you know, there's nothing there.
But it
got hot. But he started up and drove away afterwards. And into our dwarf cars, Bobby Brown got his second main event win for the season, but his kid still has 4 main event wins. And then our last group of the night was Street Stocks, and Dave Capella got a main event win.
All right.
Sounds like a good time.
A good night of racing. Like I said, just I don't think we have a lot of people show up, but it's the heat and everything else, so hopefully it'll change.
Yeah.
Get a little bit cooler.
Yeah, it's tough. It is tough sometimes, but, you know, it is what it is. Well, that's good. At least you had the racers there. And when's the next race?
2 weeks. Is it the 29th?
Yep, the 29th. Yep.
Yeah, 2 weeks, 29th will be our next race.
All right.
And it's just featuring everything we normally have. It's just another normal night. I will not be there. I am out of town. So I think either Paul Dyke or Brandon Decina is going to announce for me.
Cool.
But Paul's going to be there because he has a bunch of family, and I think PJ's actually going to be running a modified. First time in like years that he's running a modified.
Yeah, I think you got Paul hooked. He really had a good time with that last time.
Yeah, no, he did good. He did good, and had a great time. So anytime I can get someone to cover for me, it's a good deal.
It's always good. It's always good.
I know your resume is starting to fill up, like, what was the whole deal with the cowboy hat and shirt the other day?
Hey. Well, my new name is now Aces.
Oh,
well,
really?
Well, here's the deal, and you'll love this, because so KUSI got a call from the Bulls Only, and they wanted KUSI to come out and do a morning segment. And so KUSI says, okay, well, you have two choices. You have professional, or you have wild and crazy. And the professional was Roy Roberts, who does a really good job with KUSI, always wears a 3-piece suit and a button-down collar and all that. And then there's me. So the Bulls said, hey, we want Dave. So I said, killer. So I ran down to Buffalo Bills and got me a hat and a shirt. And I had this little thing that went around the top of your hat, you know, what do you call it, a braid or some kind. I spent $32 for that stupid thing, and when I took my hat to put it on to go do KUSI, it had fallen off. I didn't see it, so I did the whole segment without it. And it color-coordinated. I was red and black. I even had a pair of cowboy boots I haven't worn in 100 years. They were black with red and gray piping. I was bad to the bone. And we had a good time. And I hope I didn't hear any numbers on the Bulls Only, but it was a hoot, man. I had so much fun out there. Did you go? Friday night?
I was racing.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Friday night. They had a Friday night, Saturday night.
Oh, Friday night.
Well, the one that I thought of, because you got kids, right? Don't you have kids?
Yeah, but they're older. My youngest one starts college just in September.
Oh, geez, you are old. Well, they had the Mutton Busters out there. Were these little kids?
The kids go on the sheep.
On the sheep? OMG. I never laughed so hard.
I bet that's hysterical.
And this one little guy, he was kicked off to the right side of the sheep, and I don't know what was holding him up, but his arm was sticking straight out, and he was like at a 45-degree angle off this sheep, and he went the whole distance. And according to the guy I was with, he said that his dad was a world-class rider, so he said the genes weren't too far off.
Well, the rodeo is a hoot. I've been to the regular rodeo. I haven't been to that one, but I loved the Lakeside Rodeo.
I went
rodeo.
And met the Bulls, and they were like 1,700, 1,800, 1,900.
You met them, huh? Were they nice?
Oh, yeah. I went and talked to them.
Were they nice, too?
Well, they got up when they seen me coming. Like, who's this guy?
The crazy guy in the red shirt? Well, they probably wanted to come gore you.
So, you know me. I'm like you, brother. I'll do anything. You stick a mic in my face. You should see me doing the San Diego Velodrome. I don't have a clue what I'm doing down there.
Right. You're getting really far afield here. No engines.
Well, I'm going tomorrow night because they have a race called a Madison.
Which is?
Where riders can actually hold on to each other and slingshot each other.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know nothing, so I'm going to go.
Well, you're going to find out.
Yeah, I'm going to go down and find out. It's real quiet, though.
A new venture into something new, you know?
Oh,
hey,
really?
Well, just like you, if somebody come up to you and says, hey, would you call a monster truck race? Absolutely. They ask you to call an airplane race
next year.
Huh?
Next year, I got to get you guys out there sometime.
Oh, I'd love to. I just want to drive a monster truck.
My goal is to get a hold of Dennis Anderson, have him build me a truck like Gravedigger, sponsored by AARP. That way, when I crash, I'm totally covered. Because I will crash. I will break everything I have.
Oh, my goodness.
I just want to do it. Don't you want to do it? Tell me you don't want. Tell me you don't want to slam. Tell me you don't want to go out with a monster truck and just let go. Come on.
That's one of the things on the list. Yeah. A bike could be another. I want to do a pro street bike someday and see if I can hit 200.
No. Have you seen that new NHRA class where they have to use a chute and these bikes are freaking turbocharged and nitrous and all that? And they have to use a chute?
No. A chute?
A parachute. Yes.
Oh, okay.
No. I want to get in the 200-mile-an-hour club at Bonneville in a four-door, in a door slammer. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
No, I've fallen off motorcycles. You know, once you fall, you don't stop until everything is broken. And I don't want to do that. But no, I do want to go to Bonneville. One of the days we all ought to go to Bonneville sometime. Do a radio show up there if we can get a signal.
We should.
I know.
Probably no signal. You're right.
I know. Satellites. Damn. All right, so when's the next race?
It's going to be 2 weeks on the 29th.
All right, so everything as usual? Nothing fancy, nothing out of the ordinary?
No, just a normal night, and hopefully, I think our car count should be pretty good. I'm not sure what we're competing with, you know, it's still hard to say.
Yeah.
But if the weather holds out nice and we have, like, a pretty cooler day, it should be just a perfect day to come out and watch racing. I mean, the racing has been really good. You can't beat the racing. It's great. It just... getting out there and watching it. That's all you got to do.
Got to fill the stands, so to speak.
Hey, on August 26th, are you guys still going to do that big purse with the street stocks?
I haven't heard any more about that. We're talking, there's supposed to be another figure eight race, and that's still pending. Okay. I don't know if we're going to do another figure eight. You just didn't get a big turnout from figure eight. Oh, the 12th would be another figure eight race.
Right.
So I won't know much more until around the 29th would be the next race. So yeah, the 12th and the 6th, the 26th, I'm waiting to see what's going on with that. We're looking for some big sponsors to come in. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get some people pre-registered for that big race on the 26th. And I haven't got anybody biting. It's hard to get people to go to our track.
Wow, I don't know why. Well, we'll work on it. All right, buddy. Hey, I'll let you enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks a lot for calling in, and say hi to Brittany for me when you see her from Michelle and I.
Yep.
I will.
All right, bud. We'll see you down the road at the track for sure. All right, folks, we're going to take a small break. We come back a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio, AM 1170.
The Answer.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
All right, folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to Paris Auto Speedway. That track is absolutely amazing, and if you have not been, you have totally missed out. Go to ParisAutoSpeedway.com. You can check out the whole schedule. They're located 18700 Lake Paris Road in Paris, California. So you definitely need to check these guys out. Hey, on the line right now, Damian Gardner. Hey, bud, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, man?
Well, you know, not doing too bad. I'm sure you'd rather be racing, but that's another story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I know. So for all the folks that I can't believe they wouldn't know who you are, tell them a little bit about your background at Paris Auto Speedway.
I started out there like 2002, and you know, we raced there for a while. You know, I kind of basically, like, that's where I kind of broke out a little bit. And then you know, there was a really tough series back then with, you know, Cruiseman and Gasman and a bunch of guys like that. And then you know, then in 07 I moved back to Indianapolis for a while and raced back there for a few years. And then about 4 years ago, I moved back to California and tried to pick up where I left off. And but like you said, you know, Paris Auto Speedway, you know, from traveling around the country, it's probably the best speedway all around. Yeah, and it's not even that. I mean, people always say, well, you say it because you're biased, you know, that's your favorite track. But at the end of the day, I mean, just the facility and everything about it is the racing action that goes on just the way it is. You know, you can't really beat it anywhere in the United States.
Wow.
Do you find very many tracks that prepare their track the way Don does? I've talked to a lot of drivers, and they all say the same thing, that
You know, it's like Don's got this magic touch when it comes to setting that track up for a Saturday night race.
Oh, he does. I mean, I think, you know, like some of them guys, you know, I don't know. I mean, they wake up Saturday and try to make the track good. You know, I think Don, he probably starts on Tuesday or Wednesday making that thing good and putting the water in and getting it in there. And then one thing about it is, I mean, even if the track is, if you know, it's very rarely not racy. I mean, like winning from the front row is a feat in itself. You know, where a lot of tracks, you know, if you start on the front row, you know, you just don't make a mistake, you're going to win. But there you go. I mean, you really have to be fast because – that's why I enjoy going there so much, because I know that if I'm fast, I can win the race. You know, and like track position's not going to really hold me up. I mean, there's not going to be a guy be able to block me. If I'm quicker than him, I'll find a way around him.
Right.
And you've done quite well there, P.S.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's going good there. And, you know, and if the track isn't good, then those guys go out there and they get their tractors and they fire them up and they make it better, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what, you know, it's all you can ask.
Right, absolutely. Now, who are some of the sponsors that are on your car?
We got, you know, Scott Sales has been with us for a long time. And, you know, we organized there a little bit. The owner passed away, you know, a couple years, you know, a little over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And but they stuck with us, and the people there have stuck with us, and they've been helping us out a lot. So those guys. And then, you know, a lot of product guys that help us out. We got some guys like DeBoer Trucking. Some other guys came on and helped us. And some other guys, this, you know, SB Beagle company just came on and they're helping us. A lot of local guys have helped us.
Sure.
And we're looking for a little bit more to help us out. And maybe next year we want to maybe do a little traveling, maybe go back and run some sprint week and, you know, see how we can fare on the, you know, around the country. So we'll try to do that.
Well, it's not like, and I'm not saying this to blow smoke up your skirt just because you were nice enough to give me one of your T-shirts, which I wear quite a bit, I might add. But you've got the talent. You've got such raw talent, and it's well-defined as well. Not just raw, but it's well-defined. And I think your situation is just a matter of getting yourself in front of somebody that says, Damien, you need to come run for us. And I think by getting out there, and it's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. And I think you believe that as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's you know, I've been really fortunate to run for some really good guys, really good teams. And like these, you know, like these guys, Alexanders, they put a really good car together and they give me whatever I want, whatever I need. So, you know, like anything, I mean, there's opportunities and so forth. But again, you're trying to get something really competitive, something you can really go and win in. And it takes a good team like that to, you know, you can go win a race one night, but to win a lot of races and do good every night, it takes a good team.
Right. That's right. Yeah. So you're ahead right now in this season.
Yeah, and as far as
yeah, we're leading up.
All right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's going pretty good. Not bad.
Goals and aspirations. Are you just going to kind of hang out and leave Paris? Because a lot of people do this, and there's nothing wrong with it. Because, you know, you could make Paris the best place on the planet as far as you're going. But do you have aspirations of going somewhere else, or are you happy with the level you're at right now?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I already went. I mean, I went back there and back to Indianapolis, and I had a great, you know, great team there. It was my own team, and I was sponsored really well, and I had to be fortunate to have a guy like this guy, Pat Kehoe. He made it all possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that deal fell apart, and he passed away, and it fell apart, and we came home. And, you know, I never say never. You never know where you're going to be. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, I didn't dream that I'd be coming home here like I did and meet these guys and have this great opportunity. But, I mean, realistically, if I was to say that, you know, I'm happy racing around here. I'm getting older, and as far as going back east, it would have to be the right perfect situation,
right.
And those are very far and few between, especially at our level of racing.
Right.
Not to say it can't happen, but I just want to go places where I can win, and run very well, and I'm kind of at that right now. And you know, I mean, even like we the bad part is we only race about 22 times a year. We need to race a little bit more.
Right, right.
And, you know, I don't really run 360 cars and some other stuff just because it just doesn't, you know, that's more on the hobby level. It doesn't pay to go down there and run that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. And, yeah, I mean, I kind of, I'm older, a little beat up. So I got to go to the races.
Well,
you know, when I go to the race, I got to make it count.
Yeah.
If you would quit hanging cars from the top of the fence
and
then go up and try to take it down yours. Dude, he went up there and I don't know how he figured out how to
get it down.
Yeah. And this thing's what was that? 15, 20 feet in the air?
Oh, yeah, you know. Well, the show must go on, and they were having a hard time making it go on. So,
and then he wanted it, once it hit the ground, he was wondering if he could get in it and get going again. But, no, but, I mean, Damien, you know as well as I do. If I walked up to you and said, Damien, I got you a full ride at Le Mans next year, you'd be there so fast your shoes would catch fire.
Yeah, heck yeah. I mean, all the, any of that deals. I mean, any. I, you know, I drive anything. I love racing, period. I love racing anything. But, you know, again, like, you know, you want to go and have, be competitive
well,
and race a car and.
See, I can't fathom being last. I mean, it just makes my stomach turn right now. As old as I am, it makes my stomach turn just to think that I would be last, second from last. Unless I had a mechanical problem, I'd park it. I don't think my heart could.
Yeah, I mean, I guys do it for different reasons, and I've learned to understand it. I never used to understand it when I was younger. I've learned to understand it.
Yeah.
Some guys go there, and they like driving cars, and they like going around.
Yeah.
I never have really liked just driving a race car in a circle. I like winning. I like running up front. I like trying to figure out how to win. And if I can't be doing that, then I'll go to the lake or something.
Well, then you'll appreciate this. I go to Bondurant with my buddy Mark Maynard, and we're at Bondurant. This is during the Fox Body Cars at Bondurant, so we're all done with our classes and everything. So at the very end, they give you 45 minutes on the road course, but the rule is no touching. You're not allowed to touch. Okay, so I purposely took the last car because there's no fun being in front, right?
What?
So by the time we got to the end of the 45-minute run, I was first, and there was absolutely no paint on the front of my bumper. And I was as happy. Bondurants weren't very pleased, but I took first place.
I'm sure they weren't.
No, but hey, come on. I'm not going to. I mean, if you, it's under your right foot. Don't get it. If you don't get out of the way, I'll get you out of the way. Oh, no, I love
Dave, it. The problem child.
Oh, dude, hey. Yeah. You know, and my partner, Mark Maynard, almost had a, to this day, he'll tell you he won, but I know he didn't because I got him by about a quarter of a car length. But you know what? That's what it's about. So when you and I chat, I totally get where you're coming from. Totally.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's...
But you're the kind of driver. Yeah. You're the kind of a driver an advertiser wants.
Right.
He wants somebody that all they care about is first, not second, not third, not points, first. And that's I think that's why you get the rides you get. Hey, tell us a little bit about your land speed record attempt, because a lot of people are not aware of the fact that you are the fastest sprint car at Bonneville, correct?
Yeah, you know, we took a sprint car and. It was like I said, when I got my steel fell apart back east, kind of needed something to do, and I was just looking outside the box, and I got together with a guy, and we decided to go to Bonneville and run this car and see just how fast we could go. And the first year, it was just, it's basically more like, you know, it'd be like I basically took my pavement car, put some different kind of body on it, made it symmetrical, you know, both sides even, and we took this car and went there. And the first year was just, we didn't know a lot, you know. We just basically were trying to get it done because that was the hard part. I only had like 2.5 months. And we went there and it was out of control. I mean, it was like 170 miles an hour. And it was, you know, I was driving it like it was, well, you feel like you're on ice. And I felt like I was on ice, you know.
Oh, so
and
scary.
Then the next year we went back and we went 211 with pretty much, it was like ease with ease, you know. It went down there pretty straight. Everything went well. But the first year was just out of control. I mean, I spun out 3 times. They basically... sent me home and said, after 3 spins, and they send you home, and you can't go anymore. So they just say you got to go back and rethink it.
So what was the what caused the spin? Was it the car setup, or was it just
the
got away from you?
Yeah.
No, it was a lot to do with different aero things.
Okay.
Things that were wrong with the car, and when it would get up to 180 miles an hour, it would get really unstable. And it would start to ill handle, and then I would have a hard time hanging on to it. And
sure.
Like I said, I mean, the first year I was actually kind of, I was like, man, this is way harder than I thought it would be. Because you see some of the really big streamliners, they've got it all figured out.
Yeah.
And they just cruise down there. I mean, they really do. They just cruise and hit the buttons, and everything kind of does its own thing. And
how hard could it be?
This thing was like, this thing was out of control. But I would laugh because all the old timers, they would tell me like, hey, you need to make it longer. And I'm like, well, I can't because it's a sprint car.
Right.
You know, I got to keep it true to the rules. And they would just laugh and be like, well, have fun with that.
You did.
They knew something, you know. They knew something I didn't know. Sure.
Yeah, but you came back and proved them wrong. You didn't lengthen the car.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
just found aero. You found some ground effects. You found some way to get it to suck to the ground.
Yeah, that was the funnest part was meeting all these people and
– Yeah.
and really like learning. Because even like when you think about it, it was hard to find the right people that could help me do what I was doing. Because again, they just go make it longer, or they, you know, and that wasn't my option. So, you know, I found some really good guys, and they kind of sent me in the right direction. And when we went back, that was probably the most, funnest part was when I went back, it really worked. Yeah. You know, everything we did was proven,
Well, how many other sprint cars have gone out to Bonneville and said, hey, let me see what I can do? I don't know of any.
Yeah, there's only been a couple. There was one, I think the record at the time was like 175 by a guy. And that was about it at the time. So,
did you get a 200-mile-an-hour jacket? Are you in the 200-mile-an-hour club?
They won't give you a jacket. That's a whole other story.
What?
They won't give you a jacket. It's a weird deal. There has to be so many cars, and you have to be in the club.
Man.
And they kind of gave me a hard time, and I just told them, hey, you know what?
Yeah. Put it where the sun doesn't shine.
Jacket. I make my own jacket.
Yeah, there
just
you
put
go.
It where the sun don't shine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so maybe if you guys are lucky, I'll let you be in my club.
Okay.
There you go. Damien, hey. I always like the way you think.
We're in.
Hey, in my world, my friend, because that's a bucket list of mine, is to be in the 200-mile-an-hour club. But as far as I'm concerned, you're in it. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, he went 211.
If you go 200 and they don't give you the jacket, you come see me. I'll give you one. You could be in there.
We'll make our own. We'll start our own club.
Sweet.
I'll give you a hat, jacket, whatever you need.
All right. Damien, it's always a joy talking to you. Thank you very much for taking time out of your Sunday. And we'll come up to the track again and we'll check you out and see how things
maybe,
go.
Man,
maybe next
just
weekend.
All the fans coming out.
Maybe next weekend. Maybe we'll come roaring up.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Hey, take care, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Damon. Bye-bye.
Damien Gardner, folks. You got it. The Demon. You got to check him out at Paris Auto Speedway.
Yep.
And he's got that name for a reason.
Because, and he is feared by the other racers.
He is a demon. All right, we're going to take a small break, and we come back more right here on Racer Radio, AM 1170.
The Answer.
The Answer. KCBQ.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio right here on AM 1170. We are The Answer. Certified Car Care. Go to 11370 North Woodside Avenue in Santee. Or go to CertifiedCarCare.net for all your automotive needs. And if you happen to have a need for a dyno pull, guess what? Free of charge. Well, not free of charge. A special discount. What am I thinking? I'll get shot if I start giving away dyno pulls. But if you're hot rodding your car, building your car, or doing anything to your car, trust me, you do need to have a dyno. So that would be the place I recommend you go.
Dyno, and not a dinosaur.
Right.
A dyno.
Exactly. So, hey, Nick, we didn't get a call in. Oh, we did get a call? No. And you're going to go downstairs and get the boys? Okay, great. Well, we were going to start having the San Diego Velodrome call in at this segment just to keep people aware that there is a bicycle race here in San Diego at the San Diego Velodrome. Been around since 1976. There will be racing this Tuesday night and Friday night. There is a special race Monday night. I'm going to take a run out there because it's a race called... what was the name of it? I just had a name of it. I can't think of the name of it. Well,
what's the deal? Like,
it's just an interesting form of, but I just got to tell you, it's easier to have you come out and watch this racing. It's free of charge, folks. You can come out Tuesday night to the San Diego Velodrome right off Pershing Avenue. It's not difficult to find. You just, once you get to Pershing, go up the hill to the north, and then you'll see the only road there that's off to the left, and it goes like into a dirt field. Follow it all the way to the end, and you're right there at the San Diego Velodrome. Races start at 7, usually get done about 9 o'clock. Again, free for spectators. And since I've come on board, we've been getting some freebies and throwing stuff out in the fans and just having ourselves a gay old time. But if you're a bicycle rider and you're looking for another avenue, or let's say you go to the gym and you'd like to get a little bit more, you know, exercise, this is the place to go. By the way, I can't believe I completely forgot.
There's no NHRA. There's all kinds of racing this week, but not NHRA. That was last weekend. They had racing, and there were a lot of tributes to a very, very important person in the NHRA world who we recently lost.
Yeah, Terry Chandler. Terry Chandler was an interesting young lady. She'd done quite well in the business world, and she got into
sponsoring.
Uh-huh.
And sponsoring race cars and teams, and she was very well known. Her cars all said Make-A-Wish on them.
Well, and the thing about her, she paid for the whole thing. There was no, right. I mean, her sponsorship was her.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find
her. And she would go down to the track.
She lived at the track. In fact, they said that she liked it there probably better than anywhere else. She was 63 years old, and she looks they say she looks like a Cracker Barrel hostess than a backer of two Top Fuel funny cars running the entire NHRA 24 Melio. Yeah, but it's, but during a break in the Saturday elimination, Chandler served up cake in the team hospitality tent in honor of the retirement of her personal pilot. She and her husband, Doug, had a Pilatus, a Hawker 4000, and a Falcon 900. And did we mention she is not a Cracker Barrel hostess?
Right. She was very generous. I know there were so many mentions of her generosity during last week's broadcast. Mm-hmm. It was really incredible. She really affected the sport in so, so many ways.
Right. She supported Jack Beckman, Fast Jack Beckman's Infinite Hero Foundation car, nonprofit funding for multiple programs for former soldiers and their families with physical and mental challenges. And Tommy Johnson Jr., also a Make-A-Wish car. And this organization, as you know anything about Make-A-Wish, they grant wishes of children diagnosed with grave or threatening lives.
Right.
And
so it's such an amazing organization, and I think a lot of us are aware. It's one of the charities that a lot of people are actually aware of.
Check this out. According to those in the know, two Tier 1 funny car costs between $4 and $6 million to run, to operate at the top level.
You mean like
for a
whole season? Yeah.
So she's doing $8 to $12 million. And all that comes from the pocket of Chandler's jeans, which she buys at Walmart.
Oh, very funny.
Not a penny of the money donated from people to the two charities goes into the operation of the cars. They are seven-figure billboards taking the messages to race fans each year. And in return, Chandler makes one demand. She likes to stand at the starting line, wearing a team shirt, and cheer. Not against anyone. She isn't like that. But for her family at the racetrack. So,
That was the thing. She was a fixture. And she was rock solid as far as her support. And loved.
Well, and here's where it all came from. Chandler's dad, John Gray, started his business as a one-man operation in 74. He partnered with another oil man, Mac Chase, and they founded Marbo Energy. Together, they began working on Yeso Formation in southeast New Mexico, a field few thought was worth the trouble. Soon became the state's largest producer.
So is she within the Earl business?
Exactly. So here's where it's at.
That's the thing. And so, some people have, foundations and they have pet charities, and this was hers. She liked NHRA and she liked Make-A-Wish.
And she's a racer. She's always been racing. She raced with her whole family. She raced with her kids. She sold T-shirts. She never drove a car, like that or anything. She wasn't into the actual racing aspect of it. But But she was into giving back.
Her dad was. And
our hearts and prayers definitely go out to Terry Chandler.
And her family.
Way too young.
Way too young.
63.
It's very rare. How often a sport will come across someone like that with such dedication and obviously with the resources to make a lot of things happen for a lot of racers, a lot of teams over a very, very long amount of time. It's almost like running a school, and putting kids through and seeing what they do.
All she wanted to do is be on the starting line.
Yeah, that was it. It's just
she must be in the
nitro. Amazing person.
Yeah, she really was. And they interviewed a lot of people, at the track. Once it was announced that she had passed on, and it was a real short bout with brain cancer.
Very short. Yeah.
So I guess if you're going to go, that's the way to do it.
Very sad.
But yeah, very sorry to see her go. But the legacy, I think, is going to go on. I don't think either team has any. It's Don Schumacher Racing, so I don't think that there's any chance of it going away. I think
I hope it'll continue. That would be I'm sure what she wanted. Yeah. And since she probably had time to arrange her affairs.
Of course. But it's interesting, the money is not from sponsorship. The money is gone to promote a cause.
Right, exactly.
Which is kind of strange because normally, you know, you're selling gadgets, widgets, beer, you know, whatever.
Monster.
Yeah, Monster drink.
Or Traxxas or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But
Papa John's pizza.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Papa John.
Yeah. Well, he's very involved too.
He really is passionate.
He gave
him his own driving suit. And he raced Leah Pritchard, actually.
Yeah, he did last week.
Got spanked.
Yeah. Well,
didn't he red light?
What do you think?
Didn't he red light?
It's Leah.
I think he red lit. Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't. I mean, good luck.
all those guys.
Leah Pritchard, come on. But yeah, she's a good sport, and it sounds like he is too. So I mean, I really like NHRA. I like the way that they do things there, and it's a very inclusive sport. And I've always said that about that particular type of racing.
And it's very fan friendly.
It is,
no matter what anybody says.
Absolutely, the people are there in the pits. You want to talk to someone? You want to get their autograph?
Well, it's like Barona.
There you go.
You go to Barona Speedway.
Yeah,
you know,
and Paris
or even
too.
Paris. Either one of them. I mean,
just walk around, and you can get your moose. Your Team Moose t-shirts and all that right there in the pits.
Yes, you can.
I mean, it's great.
And good food.
Great stuff.
I don't know what it is about the food of that Paris.
Know. Well, what was that stuff we had with the bell peppers?
Oh, that was a...
was that a sandwich?
Like a Philly cheesesteak or a Philly sandwich.
Or was it
something?
A sausage sandwich or something? It was so good.
Yeah, it's because you're hungry.
Oh, God.
You're always hungry.
It was good. So, yeah, racing today, there was a lot on... this morning at 4 a.m., they had FIA World Endurance and Nürburgring. Then at 4:30 was Formula One. Oh, I missed that.
Well, let me ask you this.
And then Formula E in New York. I didn't watch that.
The NASCAR races.
We missed that.
In New Hampshire, why are they putting sticky on the track?
Sticky?
Yeah, they're doing like a, it's not VHT, it's PS1 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But it's the same substance like they put on a drag strip for traction.
Well, who knows?
And they're putting it in the first lane and then the fourth lane. Hmm. Well, they're trying to generate another lane of traffic. Well, it didn't work so well because it poured down rain right in the middle of the Xfinity race.
Oops.
So, and then I don't like it when they try to change the surface. The surface is a surface is a surface. It's like that for everybody. If it's going to be slick, it's going to be slick for everybody. If it's going to be grippy, it's going to be grippy. But don't try to go, because you know as well as I do, once enough cars go around 300-400 miles, it's going to wear it all off anyway. So
So what were they doing out there?
They were trying, it seems, and I must say, I looked at the audience. I mean, I looked at the folks in the stands.
And?
Paris gets more.
Uh-oh. Not good.
And I think they're just trying to find ways to, you know, to bring it, to bring more and more people to the to the track. I don't know. I know they're trying to give us a better show.
Well, how do you give them a better show by putting that stuff on the
track?
Hey,
guess what? Your song's on.
Already?
Hear that? All right,
folks. Happy trails.
Happy trails.
Well, that was another fun time with you, Dave. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. And folks, stay tuned. Gun Sports Radio.
We'll be back next week. And like us on Facebook, please. Racer Radio. We're on Facebook. And we post all kinds of things about racing and racers. And the Western States Racer Expo will be a big topic.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
So like us on Facebook so you can stay up to speed on the Western States Racer Expo, which helps young drivers.
Yep. All right. Say goodbye. He's having a fit.
Who, Nick? Yep. Oh, Nick, calm
down. All right,
down.
We're out of here. But oh, Gun Sports Radio right behind it.
Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.